Welcome to Methods, a podcast from the ESRC National Centre for Research Methods. In today's episode, Transformative Mixed Methods in Troubling Times, Dr. Donna Mertens, Professor Emeritus at Gallaudet University in Washington, D.C., challenges researchers to take on climate change and some of the world's other wicked problems to help achieve social and economic justice for all.
Wicked problems are those problems that are very complex, that are facing us now in society that we do not have ready solutions for, and about which there's disagreement about what those solutions might be. There's another aspect to wicked problems, which is that if we don't do something, take action of some kind towards some solution, then there are going to be very serious implications for everyone living on this planet. And examples of those, of course, the primary example is climate change, but other examples related to the prevalence of violence and the lack of access to health care. And these are problems that, you know, are not only in the developing world, but they're in all countries where we must do something or there's going to be very dire consequences.
For many of us, you know, these huge global problems like climate change, as you've just mentioned, really do appear to be almost impossible to solve or deal with. And yet you remain fairly steadfastly optimistic about the future, I know. How and why do you manage to do that?
It comes down to this. Why am I optimistic about the possibility that we can actually address these huge global problems? Because if we take the opposite tack of saying it's impossible, then my fear is that we become frozen, paralyzed, unable to take any kinds of actions. If we remain optimistic, then we keep our creative energies flowing and we look for the strategies, the building of relationships, the making of coalitions, the development of research information that can feed into solutions. And so I think my optimism is really based on a belief that there are things that we can do and that we need to put our energies towards the development of those creative solutions.
Now, one of the things that you talk about in your work is this whole concept of transformation. In the context of research, what do you mean when you talk about that?
For me, transformation is based on the concept of looking at all of the work that we put into doing research through a lens of saying, what difference will this make in a substantive, transformative way? And I know that in the UK and in other countries, there's been more of a call for social impact of research. And I want us to be very critical about how we define that social impact. To be honest, that a lot of the problems that we are facing are based in a system that is unjust, that is discriminatory, and that is oppressive. And unless we put that out on the table and frame our research in ways that allow us to address those systemic problems, we are not going to come up with solutions. And so for me, transformation means we are working towards addressing those systemic structures within society that perpetuate an unjust status quo.
Now, that's really interesting. And so what does that mean for a researcher? I know you talk about taking a transformative stance as a researcher. What does that involve?
The transformative stance for me emerged from working with members of many marginalized populations, with people who are deaf, people with disabilities, women, with indigenous populations, with members of minority ethnic and racial populations. And they're saying, hey, the research that you're doing about us is not really capturing accurately what our experiences are. And you come, you take data, you leave, and we don't see substantive change. And so the impetus came from their request to have research that would more accurately capture their experiences and lead to transformative change. And so for me, the starting point is to be very conscious of the ethical principles that are guiding the research, that we actually say straight out that what our research needs to do is to be culturally respectful, to be culturally responsive, to recognize power differences, to engage respectfully with members of a broad range of constituencies, to look at ways that we help, we work with communities rather than help, we work with communities to create their platform for being part of a change process that they see as being valuable for themselves and for their communities. And so that means that the researcher has to build relationships with a broad range of constituencies, needs to be cognizant of those strategies for organization and for shifting of power, and build that into the design of the research.
Now, you also talk about something called the transformative paradigm, which is more of a sort of a philosophical framework for social science research. I wonder, as simply as you can, if you could explain for us what this means and how this contributes to this approach that you're looking for to achieve a greater justice for the sorts of groups you've just been talking about.
So I characterize the transformative paradigm with four types of philosophical assumptions, one related to the nature of ethics and values, one related to the nature of knowledge and our relationship to the people that we have with us in the study, one related to the nature of reality, how do we view reality, and the other related to the nature of systematic inquiry. And so the philosophical category related to the nature of ethics and values is related to the comments that I've just made previously, that we need to open our work by saying what are the values that are driving the understanding of the nature of the problem and the nature of the solutions, and that we should not be making assumptions that we understand what the nature of the problem is and what the nature of the solution is, that we ought to be engaging in the collection of data through qualitative and quantitative data collection that allows us to get a better picture of how the problem is viewed from different perspectives and what the consequences are of accepting those different versions of reality. So if we have a version of reality that says that climate change does not exist, and we have another version of reality that says that people are living under a bridge where a lot of trucks go over have the highest rate of asthma and heart disease and cancer, those are two versions of reality. So we need to bring those both to visibility. We need to look at the consequences of accepting both of those who will suffer if we operate under the former version of reality, and who will benefit by operating under the version of reality that this is part of a discriminatory and oppressive system.
Now that brings me on nicely to the question of methods. Our podcast is about research methods. I wonder if you can give us a sort of a good example of the sorts of methods that would work within this framework that you've been talking about, and again explain why they're important in trying to achieve the justice that you're looking for.
I'm a proponent of the use of mixed methods, so the combination of quantitative and qualitative methods. I'm also a proponent of a more cyclical design, meaning that we collect data, we analyze it, we look at what it means, then we move on to the next phase of the study, and we collect data, we analyze it, we look at it, and then we move on to the next phase of the study. And within this transformative paradigm, there is, in a sense, a generic cyclical mixed methods design that would begin by identifying who needs to be included. Also then looking at how do we build relationships with the various constituencies that have been identified, developing strategies for working together. You know, if we give conscious attention at the very beginning to say, how are we going to work together? What makes sense? And realize that those things will not be written in stone. They can change as you move through the research process. But to have transparency on that part, to me, is very important. The next step would be to engage with those constituencies in what I would call a contextual analysis. So what's of relevance within this context? What's the historical story that has led up to where people are in terms of their position in society? I do a lot of work in the deaf community. And so if a hearing person comes to the deaf community and says, oh, I just love the way you sign, it's so beautiful, I want to do research on you, the deaf people are going to say, you know, really, we're not like animals in the zoo that you come to observe. We have a history with hearing people. From the 1800s, hearing people made a decision that the best way for deaf people to communicate was orally, meaning that they use assistive listening and learn to read lips. And it wasn't until about 5 years ago that the Congress, the International Congress for Education of the Deaf, said, oh gosh, we're sorry. Perhaps a visual language would have been better because you can see a language and you can't hear it. So it's that kind of history that if you don't understand the history, what brought you to the place you're at, then I think it's very difficult to work effectively in communities that are marginalized.
That you make that point very, very well. Now, and you're going to be talking about this at the forthcoming ESRC Research Methods Festival. I wonder what your message for researchers is when it comes to their role in all of this.
I think I would like to present a challenge to the researchers, and it's a challenge that not every researcher will necessarily pick up on. I understand that there are different ways of looking at the purpose of research, and there is a school of thought that the researcher's job is to collect data, analyze it, and report it, and you're finished. But in my mind, in my experience, and the people that I work with, and looking at the problems that we have in the world, I think we have to be much more conscious of these steps that I've been talking about and add them into our designs so that we are taking that time to identify who needs to be included, how to include them, how to engage with communities in ways that you increase the potential that the data that you collect is actually going to be used and is going to be seen as relevant to the problem that we're facing.
Now, just finally, it's one thing to be optimistic about the contribution that research can make to an agenda for change, but I wonder if you're optimistic that change can and will take place and that the sort of social, environmental, economic justice that you'd like to see will one day happen. Big question.
Yes, I have to stay optimistic. I do have to stay optimistic. To become just a slightly bit political, there have been times when a president of the United States has been elected where I have felt myself paralyzed by depression and unable to come out of my room for a period of time. But that is not going to be an effective strategy. We have to get our energy back together and we have to get out there, work with people, and if we can create the political will for change, then we can overcome those obstacles that are stopping us from seeing that social, environmental, and economic justice.
Donna Mertens is one of the keynote speakers at the 2018 ESRC Research Methods Festival. You can find out more about her work at www.donnamertens.com, and you can find out about the festival on the NCRM website at www.ncrm.ac.uk.